Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, all you beautiful people, to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS. That's why I'm a No BS Bishop. And I know some people wonder why I use the letters BS. Well, I'll just take it as safe as I can for those folks and say, bait and switch. Either you're loving people or you're manipulating them, baiting and switching. So let's get rid of all the bait and switch. Let's get rid of all the management of other people and move toward the authenticity of love. Move our life out of the desert, the dry lands, the lowlands of just trying to manipulate or fake it till you make it kind of stuff. And let's just give ourselves to love. Let love be the highest value, the highest pursuit of all of our living. So that's what I'm going to go after today. I want to review some of what I'm about here, and then I'll add a few other things. I just find this topic of love genuinely, truthfully is inexhaustible. It is so wide, so high, so deep. In fact, in the little book of Ephesians in the New Testament, that you would know the love of God, the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of it, that there would be an explosion of knowing the love of God. And I've always read that with an understanding that, wow, we really must explore this vast universe that's called love. You hear me say it all the time here. 1 John 4 says, God is love and love is God. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. You see, love is the gig. It's not the side gig, if you catch my meaning. All right. So every No BS Bishop Alive to Love, I always take us through a creed that I have written that I want you to embrace if you can at all. I know I'm embracing it, and I know it's doing some good in my soul and in my mind. Because just like you, I have challenges. I have people in my life that love is it's a tall order. And I know we all have that challenge. So in order to sustain an aim in the right direction, it's important to have creeds and value systems that we really do embrace. All right, so here's love's creed. I'll give it to you once through in total. Then I'll come back and read it to you as I would vows at a wedding altar. Does that make sense? So I want you to listen to it in total. I'll come back and then I'll say repeat after me. Here's love's creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. Now, let me go through it piece by piece. I'll get you to repeat after me in short bursts. You ready? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. It's a creed to hang on the wall of your heart and in the hallways of your thinking. So like I said earlier, I want to review some of the premise of why I come here every week with this broadcast. I am developing a podcast from it where I can do some interviews and go a little more in depth. But here, I just want to continue to be sure that those who are tuning in for the first time hear the premise. But also for those who are loyal listeners and to you, hey, listen to me when I say thank you. I know you're there, and so thank you for tuning in here regularly. But even with the regular folks that come here, I simply want to be crystal clear about why I am talking about love the way I do. All right? So here are two basic statements of purpose that I think will just set the tone for today. I'm seeking with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, I'm seeking to rescue love from oversimplification and what I call bumper sticker theology. You know what bumper sticker theology is, right? So the bumper sticker people put on their back of their car says, honk if you love Jesus, or some other thing, some threat that you're going to go to hell, turn or burn, something like that. I call that bumper sticker theology, and it's little four or five little words, and they're really not always helpful. Some are, some can be, but yeah, most of bumper sticker theology that I see doesn't really help. I have an aversion to bumper stickers in general. I just won't put them on my car. I did when I was in high school, and it's the last bumper sticker I ever had and ever will have. But when it comes to love, love is too vast and too important to trust to just a little handful of words on a bumper sticker. So I'm here seeking to rescue love from oversimplification and bumper sticker theology. You see, my wife and I were chatting the other day. We were visiting what we do. We call it our windshield time, our windshield conversations. And every so often, we really enjoy just the banter back and forth on a variety of subjects. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you've all done it, I hope. And one of them the other day was about love. And I just underscored as we walk through life, and she and I are walking through a season in our life where you really have to ask yourself, what are my truest values? What do I value? We will live out of our values, good or bad. If you got bad values, then your life will reflect what your values are. If you got good values, your life will reflect your values. So how you live, what you do, what you say, how you treat people, how you envision the world around you. Your values establish how you live your life. I want to challenge you to have the highest value for the wide world around you and your own purpose is by having a value of love. And we have to, and my wife and I were discussing this, we have to beware of the oversimplification of love. Like this, you know, I don't mind telling my personal story because it's really written up in the code of my thinking. My mother suffered with tuberculosis for most of her life, and as she was in her final days on this earth, I was in the hospital room with her, just tending to her and wanting to be with her in what I knew was possibly her last days. And she was urgent that I would I had one sibling, my brother, and my brother had lived a lifelong of drugs and alcohol, and he was at the time just a hot mess, and I'm sad to say that at 72, about 6 years ago, his life ended in a drug overdose, and it seemed to be intentional. So now back up to my mother's death. My brother was still alive at the time and still very much living his addictions. And my mom reached out and grabbed me from her hospital bed. And she said, Randy, you have to love your brother. Well, my answer was, and I was very truthful to her when I said, Mom, I do love him. Now, all of that is to say that my mother, bless her heart and God rest her soul, my mother's oversimplification of love at that time looked far more like codependency and enabling than it did real love. You see, love does not enable a disease that will kill people. And the disease of addiction was killing my brother. I could not love that in him. I could love him, but I had to separate that addiction from him and just simply love him as a human being, but not love this monster called addiction that was literally killing him and then ultimately did kill him. So when we say, oh, you just have to love people no matter what, well, okay, let's make sure we understand what we're saying there, right? Let's break that down a little bit. Let's make sure our value is the highest value that we can possibly reach for when it comes to how we will love. I will love you, but I will not love the monster that's hanging on your neck trying to kill you. Whatever that monster may be, it may be just as simple as a life of selfishness and bitterness and anger, or it could be as complex as a life of alcoholism and addiction. I won't love the monster that's trying to kill you, but I will love you. I will separate you from the disease or from the monster or from the, you know, that gorilla that's choking you to death. I will love you, and I have to remain committed to love in a way that supports your soul without supporting the soullessness of whatever it is that you're joining yourself to that genuinely is like a psychological cancer. So we have to be sure we rescue love from oversimplification and bumper sticker theology. I do love all people, period. But I do also know that I will have to love some people at a safe distance for their sake and mine. I'll say, hey, I'll be over here in this room loving you while you stay in that room. I'm going to love you, but I cannot love you with my arms around you all the time because some of your behaviors are dangerous. Some of your behaviors are destructive. Some of your behaviors are even dangerous and destructive to me. So while I will love you, and that, you know, the challenge here really is that that kind of love will deepen my understanding of love, not rob me of it. It will deepen and really take me out of oversimplification into a real well-thought-out program of love. So I will love all, but some folks, I'm going to have to love you at a distance for your sake and for mine. So there again, this is one of the principles that we live by here on the Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. Rescuing love from oversimplification and bumper sticker theology. Now, here's another line that I want to read to you and share with you that is just part two here of why we're here week in and week out. I seek to raise love to a lifetime pursuit and the understanding of a pilgrimage. So there's two parts there, a lifetime pursuit and a pilgrimage. Lifetime pursuit, it takes into account that there are seasons of my life. You know, I cannot love at the age of 12, like I'm loving now at the age of 70. Those life seasons are two different seasons. They're just different parts of me. And I would submit that a child at 12 can have a better embrace of love than most kids can. I really would invite parents. I would invite guardians or significant adults in a child's life, whatever their age, to teach them whatever you can at whatever level they're able to comprehend. Teach them you're alive to love. You're not on this earth for hate. You're alive for love. You're not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. You get what I'm saying, to walk through love's creed for a child. But I also know that in a lifetime pursuit, when I'm in my 30s and 40s in that midlife stage, you know, I'm reaching points of some kinds of dissatisfaction or disruption in my life, you know, good or bad. And at that stage in my 30s, 40s, and even into my 50s, I'm facing new psychological challenges. I'm looking not at the end of my life, but I'm starting to be able to see it from here. You know what I mean? So we call that a midlife crisis. So whether it's a midlife crisis or a divorce or a separation from a significant other, or simply perhaps at that stage in your life you've had an accident physically damaging your body and you're in another season, I'm just here to say that love can be a part of that pursuit as well. Learning to love and to be loved. You know, how many stories have we all heard of people who have fought a disease at whatever stage in their life? They fought a disease and somebody came along and showed them love. Some nurse or doctor, some practitioner, some chiropractor, some physical therapist. They just arrived, it seemed, out of the blue, and they showed love at a certain place in your life that you were vulnerable. We've been there, right? We've all been there at some point where somebody cared just a tiny bit more. And what I'm saying here is somebody raised love in their life as a part of their lifetime pursuit. And at the point of your life of vulnerability, physically, psychologically, or otherwise, you discovered love in a new way. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's why the seasons, the episodes of our life that going forward are important to pay attention to. You hear me say here regularly, I'm 70, but you know, I still have a 12-year-old boy alive on the inside of me, and I like to play with that kid, that little Randy down in there, Rascal Randy sometimes. And what's important for me at this stage of my life is that I don't just stop and say, well, you know, I'm at this point, I don't have anything else to learn about love. I've heard a few, and especially husbands, say about their marriage or their wife, say, well, she knows I love her. I told her before. And maybe when you were 25, you said, hey, I love you. But what about now at 85? Are you looking deep into the eyes of this precious human being who's sacrificed so much to stand by you through all these years? Are you learning another level of love? Are you learning another epic of love? Are you writing another love story at this stage in your life? I mean, we all know how, if you can draw a picture in your mind right now of an older couple, a grandpa and a grandma holding hands as they walk through a store, or just looking up on a porch or somebody's deck and you see an older couple on a porch swing and they're smiling and chatting. Can you imagine just how much love has gone on in that lifetime pursuit, this season of their life, this if perhaps the last, well, in your 80s, you're in your last season. So has love followed you there? Are you following love there? It's a lifetime pursuit. And raising love also beyond the lifetime pursuit to the understanding of a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is often known in religious circles as people who set off on a hike or a long walk or maybe just a short devotional meditation pilgrimage. I've been to one down near Milwaukee called Holy Hill. It's a Catholic pilgrimage, and it takes you through the stations of the cross. I like to see the raising love to a pilgrimage where I make these moments in my life where love bursts on the scene as this is a point to meditate. This is a point to be grateful. This is a point at which I should really take note. That's what you do in a pilgrimage. You look a little deeper. You look a little more closely at yourself and you reflect and you do some contemplative praying through where you're at. To look at love as a pilgrimage is to see this pilgrimage as an opportunity to be an ever-growing human being, to be an ever-caring human being, to let my empathy be more today than it was yesterday, to let my compassion be more of a sense of fulfillment than it was when I was in my 20s or 30s. That's what a pilgrimage will do for you. A pilgrimage will give you the motivation to be an ever-learning person, a person whose education never stops. So here again, I'm here week in and week out, and I'm writing a book, I'm doing a podcast coming up, and it's all about being alive to love. I'm giving up on BS. I'm giving up on the bait and switch. I'm giving up on manipulating. I'm giving up on fake it till you make it kind of attitudes toward other people. I'm going to unpack the beauties of love. I'm going to seek to live this creed of love that I'm alive with plans, dreams, designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. And then I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's why we're here with this broadcast week in and week out. I hope I'm keeping it fresh. That's my goal. I hope, even though I repeat some things over and over again, I hope that somebody comes along for the first time and says, oh, wow, I never thought of that. But I also hope for those of you who tune in regularly, once again, hear me say thank you. But for those who tune in regularly, I hope you're saying thank you, Randy, for the consistent reminder. Thank you, Randy, for giving me a little more to chew on and think about as I set out on this lifetime pursuit and pilgrimage. And as I join you, Randy, in seeking to rescue love from oversimplification. You see, I'm a member of a 12-step community, 12 Steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. You can look those up, and they're just a beautiful framework of healthy self-examination and healthy progress through managing your life out of addictions, or in my case, it's codependency. I'm blessed not to be an alcoholic or an addict, but I am also deeply wounded by codependency, as I shared with you earlier, the story of my brother I grew up with. I know what it is to watch an addict self-destruct. And what that does to me as a non-addict, it produces in me this anxiety, this what we call in the 12-step community I'm a part of, fix, manage, control. I got to fix you. I got to manage you. I got to control you. Those are the three little rodents that run around in a codependent's mind. Fix, manage, control. Fix, manage, control. The monkey chatter in my head, as somebody I know calls it, this chatter in my head. How do I fix it? How do I manage it? How do I control it? And it really does mess up what can otherwise be a quality life. So when we raise love to a lifetime pursuit or rescue love from an oversimplification, it'd be a good plan for any of you listening to look for a 12-step support group, wherever they may be. You can write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to refer you to something that would get you into a ever-growing pursuit of a life lived for love. Well, we do two things here as I'm going to bring this in for a close now. We do two things to close, and one is I want to train you and help you to understand that breathing is more than just inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. Sometimes you have to focus, think, see yourself slowing down your pace and breathing well. I want, on the count of three, I want you to breathe as deep as you can. Inhale in and hold it there for just a few seconds, all right? One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Make sure you push that inhaled air down to the diaphragm. Make sure you keep your shoulders level. Don't raise your shoulders. Give your lungs all the room to expand and hold the air. And then exhale with gratitude. That exercise will lower your blood pressure, slow your mind down, and give you the opportunity to rescue yourself from lovelessness. And speaking of love, let's find a way to startle ourselves and others. Yeah, here's one way to startle people. Startle yourself. Find somebody and look them right in the eye and say the most charmed, holy, magical words in the human language. I love you. It's hard to do, isn't it? It really is. I've been there, and I know what it is to stop and slow yourself down. But I'm telling you, when you do it, it's magical. It's holy. It's a beautiful moment. And I know it's awkward, it's, you know, it's clumsy, it's weird, but it's worth it. Hear me when I say to you on this broadcast, whoever you are, I love you. Find somebody nearby, and maybe it's your significant other, your spouse, a grandmother, grandfather, mom or dad or your child. Slow it down, look them in the eye, and say, I love you. It's magical. I'm promising you it is. And it's worth the weirdness. It's worth the awkward moment or two that it takes to get there. You can do it because you are hardwired for love. I am hardwired for love. And I always like to remember that there might be somebody out there who hasn't heard, I love you, in days, weeks, maybe months, or God forbid, longer. Those three words are like a bowl of good soup on a cold day. Those three words are like a big tall glass of lemonade on a hot summer day. It'll refresh your body, soul, and mind. Well, that's it for today's No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. Lesser values just devolve into BS. So thanks for being here. Tell your friends about this broadcast. Come join in anytime you can. These broadcasts are archived on WPCA Radio's website. I so appreciate WPCA giving me this venue, this microphone for this time. Now go out there and do something beautiful, folks, because ugly, whoo, oh baby, ugly's getting done to death. Let's be lovers of all humankind. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.